Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps. My name is Kerry Stevenson, and today I'm bringing you a great story and a story I think that's gone a little bit under the radar. Some of you may not be aware. ASX code is TEG, Triangle Energy. I'm bringing you Rob Towner. He's the Managing Director. They've got lots of news coming out from the Perth Basin in Western Australia. Rob, good to see you over there in Perth.
Hi, Kerry. How are you going?
Yeah, very well, sir. And you have been very, very busy quietly accumulating a lot of assets in the Perth Basin. We're talking oil and gas. First up, because our investors, some of them may not know who Triangle Energy are, give us just a brief overview of Triangle Energy, and then we'll go diving into what you've been doing over the past couple of years.
Yeah, Triangle Energy in 2015 invested into the Cliffhead oil field, 350 kilometres north of Perth. We're a pure conventional oil operator. We've been producing from the day we purchased our initial 42% in the field from AWE, and we've furthered that investment to go to 78% and the operator of the facility.
Is that important to be the operator of the facility? Just when you said that, is that important?
Yeah, I think it is, because we've got the team of people to manage the various divisions. We've got an asset management division. We've got HSC, obviously. In total, we've got 25 staff. It was originally, when we bought in the downturn of the sector, it was up at about 45. So we've spent this last 5 years considerably restructuring the business for a depressed commodities time in the cycle for oil.
Do you reckon it has been a little bit depressed? I think as I'm talking to you today, though, it is starting to get a lot stronger. And you bought this asset off AWE. Why were they divesting of it? Was it just because the market was in a downturn?
Yeah, look, every company has its own models. And AWE are obviously a much larger company than we were. Their partners, Rock Energy, were owned by Fosun out of China. When we bought, you know, sometimes these guys sell because they don't want to run smaller production. I took the view, being totally counter-cyclical, that at $40 oil, and I can restructure the business, I can keep the project and the field open, which we've done. The only reason I did that, I wanted to buy low and, you know, have oil prices improve and we can generate free cash.
And do you in doing that, is it starting to play out as you saw it? Because you said you bought it when oil was at $40 a barrel. It's now, you know, over $70 a barrel. Is this playing out how you thought? And what are some of the challenges you've seen along the way?
Look, it's no question. You can never tell the recovery period. The COVID situation has probably added an extra 2 years that I would have hoped that wouldn't have happened, and that's no different to anyone. And ironically, oil's probably the last commodity to recover out of all the other commodities that haven't over a long period of time. So, yeah, look, it's been a lot longer than anyone would hope. I always say, though, having done a few of these things before, it's a lot easier to manage revenue than to manage placements for exploration when no one wants to explore. So, in a sense, Triangle's been doing both. We've been producing, managing our cash flow. We drilled a well, Xanadu well, back in 2017, which was a discovery but not commercial. I've acquired or taken interests in a total of 5 licenses in the Perth Basin now, and we control over just under 10,000 square kilometres of production, exploration and development assets, all within one area, and all focus on conventional oil. If someone wants to invest in the next 2 or 3 years of good oil prices, or there's other larger companies that have been generating significant amounts of cash because of the increased commodity price in oil, it'll be burning a hole in their pocket. And where will they go to deploy? And at that time for them, find opportunity to expand their reserves. And Triangle aren't here to be the next Woodside. I know that sounds silly to say it, but I'm a realist.
Yeah.
And we now have significant interest from 100% down to as low as 45% in one asset, four operatorship positions in those assets. They're all the things that are attractive to bigger companies when the commodity price is the right price.
What's the right price, Rob?
At $60 oil, even the boys in shales in the US can survive. So the point being that we're in conventional, $60 works, $75, which we've hit today for the first time in 3 years for Brent. It's good money. The game now is to lift my 800 barrels a day back to 960, which we'll be doing through two work programs, which will begin in 2 weeks' time. And then I've got, during this period of the downturn, we've been reprocessing data that's been on hand with more modern techniques and have identified another 2 million barrels to drill that will lift our production back up to 3,000 barrels in 3 years. The point is now to book those reserves, plan the drilling, and when we do it, what do you know? We've got the infrastructure sitting there. It just goes straight back into the pipe that I'm putting oil through now.
So just going back a step, I just want to find out, Triangle Energy is focused on the Perth Basin. Why were you focused? And it seems like you've got quite extensive, I was going to say land holding. It's not land holding, sea holding, whatever way you call it, but it's large. What do you see in the Perth Basin and why hasn't it had more exploration in that area? Because that's what you're doing now.
The first production in the Perth Basin was 50 years ago with the Dongara 1 well. Mount Horner was discovered in the 70s. What you saw was an exit really of the bigger companies in the basin for whatever reason. The ironic thing is though that about 7 or 8 years ago, the Waitsia gas discovery was made by AWE and Mitsui. And since then we've had West Erregulla with Strike. And this is all in the last 6 years. And all of a sudden we've got a whole brand new gas sector. And I, from the very beginning, said, well, if there's been oil there once before, there's going to be oil there again. The answer to your question is no one's done it.
Right.
No one's gone drilling for oil. You've had Cliff Head. There's three fields producing historically, Cliff Head, Mount Horner and Jingamaya. Jingamaya's currently shut in. Mount Horner was shut in at 2014. We've now got 100% of that I've bought. And
so Rob, sorry to interrupt you. So why did you buy it? If you saw something was shutting, I'm putting my investor hat on here and going, well, surely that did they know something or do you know something they didn't? If they're shutting it and you're picking it up, why did you look at it and say that's going to be
Mount Horner was shut in at the time because of the high water cut. So they were older wells at the end of their life. You also had 2014-15 with the oil price drop, closed in. Again, I was just, as I said to you, they were old wells. No new wells, Kerry. You know, the reservoirs that have been producing the Perth Basin have been doing that for a long time. It's finished. They're coming to an end.
Right.
Cliff Head's still got another 4 years. I can, within that time, go and drill these two wells from the platform and put it on production. Mount Horner, again, it's onshore. It's a lot cheaper onshore for drilling. There's now appetite for people to go into these fields, like any commodity. We've identified there's more prospects and leads through this downturn doing desktop work. The cycle will be such that, oh, okay, well, it's $75 oil, Rob. That makes sense, doesn't it? I'm not using any different model. It just seems that in downturns for oil, investors takes time for them to build confidence.
Yeah.
I do find intriguing, having spent time in the stockbroking sector myself for some time, I've seen plenty of drills go into hard rock that come up with nothing.
Yeah.
And nothing's different here. When the confidence and enthusiasm turns, they'll be wanting to put a bet on any well going in the ground. And that's just the normal way it is. It's just that oil's been a prolonged thing. We've got the environmental part against us. We've got new technologies of hydrogen. I'm not anti renewables. I've got a solar and wind joint venture. However, I am running a business that has a need and people have still got a need for oil. It's as simple as that.
And so, there's a There's a growing need, though, isn't there, Rob? Because we've got, from what I didn't actually understand that Australia only had four refineries, and I think two of them are closing. We're only going to have two refineries. And you know, that to me means that really Australia has an energy security issue, doesn't it?
Yeah, we do have an energy security issue. Ironically, we produce and have plenty of reserves under the ground.
Yeah.
There's been a lack of investment into those existing large refineries. There's been a huge amount of investment in failed new technologies for energy over 25 years. Ironic, but anyway, I'm not the policymaker in federal politics for this sector. The question of security has been brought up through the federal government, and their result was to provide funding for people to build import tanks for refined fuels. That's okay. You know, we do import predominantly crude oil for refining, or we now import refined fuels from Southeast Asia.
Hang on a second. Wait. So we got plenty of oil here, but you're saying that we don't have the infrastructure to refine it here. We're going to import it all. Right? Is that correct?
That's what's going to happen with BP at Kwinana. Converting from a refinery to a import facility for 100% refined fuels. The federal government has put up $2.3 billion over the next 7 years for the existing two refineries on the East Coast, but they've both got a minimum age, I think, roughly 50 or 60 years of age. So the question is, we've seen our export markets for things like grain and beef and, dare I say, barrels of wine suddenly come to a halt. Why does this country think that, you know, we can't have a bit more emphasis on encouraging people to explore? I mean, I've got, and many of Australian listed companies have got leases to go and explore for hydrocarbons in Australia, and we've got financial commitments to government to do that. And yet, on the other hand, we don't really have anywhere to put it. I mean, I'm now about to export crude oil to Southeast Asia that's coming from Australian reservoirs to Singapore, and it's costing me more money. Luckily, at $75 oil, I'm still making money, but there needs to be a bit more incentive and a bit more understanding as to what the possibilities could be for us to have a little bit more control over that energy security.
Is there anything that so let's talk about Triangle Energy's infrastructure at the moment. What have you got, and how is that playing into the overall picture? Because I really think that Triangle Energy, my opinion, because in preparing for this chat with you today, I started looking into what you do. You've been doing an awful lot very quietly in the background. So let's talk about what infrastructure you've got, how you're using it. You just said that you've got to export up to Singapore, but you'll still be making money. Good money or okay money? And what sort of infrastructure have you got?
Interesting question, good money, or, you know, how much does that really mean? Based on a low production profile and what that converts to into dollars, we would spin off $2 to $3 million a year historically at these sort of levels of production.
Okay.
That's okay. It's not making any dividends, and it won't. The point of the last 5 years is to be keeping the facilities open, because the initial investment to build the onshore Arrowsmith stabilization plant, lay the 12 kilometres of pipeline and build the offshore unmanned platform was $320 million. The peak production through that facility was 12,000 barrels a day, and it's now 800. Its capacity is 15,000 barrels a day. So if you want to talk infrastructure and storage tanks and everything else, and I refer to this sort of world of at the end of life decommission, I don't know why you'd decommission Arrowsmith particularly, which is the largest one of two stabilisation plants in the Perth Basin. Why would you pull it down when you, on the other hand, got people still drilling?
Wait a second. Why are you talking about pulling it down?
Under the legislation of the end of life of my current field, that's apparently what I've got to do.
Oh.
I won't be doing that, because I don't see why you would, when later this year there's going to be another group drilling for oil 5 kilometres away from me onshore. So why would you pull it down if they do have another discovery that's going to have recoverable oil? You are.
Well, that makes me as an
investor. That's my job.
Yep.
My job is to actually provide that insight to whoever needs to know it, because any new discovery will attract sufficient money to do any necessary upgrades. As you would, you bought a second-hand house. What do you do? You're going to give it a paint. It's very simply said, but it doesn't make sense to pull critical energy infrastructure down under the legislation in this country.
So what you're saying is you're going to make sure that you find oil that can go through that infrastructure so that it doesn't need to be decommissioned and it will continue to process and to make use of that infrastructure. Is that what you're saying?
Correct. Yep. And that's really, you know, when I look back in time, that was probably the main reason I bought into Triangle and the Cliffhead oil field. The production was there. The revenue was there. If I can manage that, I keep it open. The reserves were there to keep it open. We were allowed to keep it open. But at the back end, it was to go and start, and we've done the process of reprocessing old data. We drilled a well at Xanadu. We're having a good go at it.
Right.
In pretty hard times, and I've managed to consolidate the largest package for conventional oil in the basin. And if it was, you know, just under 10,000 square kilometres, it's a lot of ground and a very attractive potentially at the right time to much larger players.
Has the latest technology, is that helping you in terms of where you do it? Because, you know, as you say, if you don't drill it, you're not going to find it. You're drilling. Is technology helping?
It definitely is. And you can across all of these commodity exploration areas, you can always have questions as to, you know, have we done enough? Have we done enough? I guess sometimes it takes someone like myself who's not necessarily qualified technically to say that's enough, and we'll find the right person to agree with us to find a partner to go and drill it if we can't do it on our own.
And is that what you are doing at the moment? Are you looking for partners or are you doing it on your own?
So we attended APA last week in Perth and had a stand there with what was I suppose an introduction to our opportunities that we've identified, and through that there's obviously we've had interest, as that's why you go. Ooh. And we will continue those discussions with the relative parties.
Well, you've recently raised some money and that's put you in a good position. What I'd love you to share with our listeners, our investor audience today, is what are you going to be doing with that money and what's the news flow like in the next few months?
Okay, next few months, probably before the money, we would expect that we complete our export agreement with BP Singapore in terms of our offtake. We will begin the workover of two of our existing five production wells. We're replacing one pump and we'll be doing a re-entry on the second well to lift production by another 160 barrels. We have got a seismic program planned for the end of the year at Mount Horner, which is about $1.8 million. We own 100% of Mount Horner. Excuse me. We are also allocating an amount of money towards a modular refinery feasibility up at Dongara.
What does that mean? I'm not familiar with that. A modular refinery, what do you mean?
So it's effectively, to begin with, it'll be a refinery of size that can handle our production and a few others' production. So it's a mini refinery, if you like, quite common in North America and other parts of the world. It's more a regional thing. It's almost, ironically, it's a little bit strange for Australia because all of our existing refineries have been nowhere near our oil reserves or production that has to be trucked and piped and moved. This is turning on its head to actually have it within, well, in our case, within 12 kilometres of our production offshore. So we've allocated some money to that. It's going to be an interesting one. We won't be big enough at this point in time to support the whole state of Western Australia for diesel. We also haven't completed the feasibility, Kerry, so don't, you know, think it's done. But it does, it certainly, we believe it warrants what we can produce as refined fuel. We'll find a buyer for it. Can be done relatively quickly on the back of the envelope. You know, if we push the button, it'll take 2 years.
Wow. Okay. And 2 years is nothing in terms of pushing buttons and getting things started.
Yeah.
We're running out of time. What I would love to know, this is the first time our listeners have heard from you, Rob. Why do you think now is a good time for them to invest in Triangle Energy? I mean, I hadn't realised all the projects that you'd been doing. I hadn't realised you've got a very dominant land position, exploration position in the Perth Basin, both on and offshore. Why do you think now is a great time for investors to sit up and take notice?
Kerry, I think there's probably three things. One is the oil prices at record highs for 3 years. Simple one. We produce, it's going to spin off, good money for us. Secondly, we've got a market capitalization of 14 million. Thirdly, which we haven't even touched on, we've got an equity position in another ASX listed gas company in Queensland called State Gas that our holding's worth 25 million. I've just raised 10 million.
Yeah, just before you go off that, just talk about the State Gas interest. Just touch on that a little bit more.
So State Gas, we've got a 28% equity interest in State Gas. It owns two gas projects that are adjoining in the Southwest Bowen Basin. We've drilled five wells there. It's a combination of conventional and coal seam gas. The chairman is Richard Cotty, who's had a long history in the coal seam gas market. I represent Triangle on the board. We modelled that so that we could focus our people on the Perth Basin. Reed's Dome was part of Triangle 5 years ago, and the board took the view that we'd be better off having an equity position, a non-management position, and that succeeded. You know, it's worth $25 million to us. We've just raised 10, there's 35, and wow. Our market cap's 14.
Oh, there you go. I love those sorts of numbers.
You know, I think the changing point right now is that I've beefed up the balance sheet. Yes, some will say that it was a fairly low price, but I'm running a business and that money has got a use. Where I used to have a production asset, I've now got a diverse portfolio that the production isn't enough to meet my commitments on exploration. I've just raised $10 million to fix that hole. I won't be raising money. Oh, God, don't say it.
Yeah.
It's unlikely that we'll be raising money next week.
Also. Yeah, heard it on Small Caps first, ladies and gentlemen. Well, right now you don't need to, but technology is helping you. The oil price is helping you. It is a shame when I hear that, you know, you're saying to me that you've got to shift your oil offshore because we don't have refineries here in Australia. To push it through. I find that quite extraordinary. I guess that's a conversation for another day, Rob.
I think it is, and maybe not on record.
So you heard it here, ladies and gentlemen. I think it's great. Rob, congratulations on all that you've done. And as you said just before, you're running this like a business. And I say this often to people, look, you've got to look at the companies that are running. This is a business. So if you want to invest in a business that seems to be getting the balance right, My final question to you is, just before we finish up, is technology going to be a change maker for you, the fact that we've got new ways of looking for gas and oil?
No.
There's a nice short answer for me.
Well, oil's really simple.
Is it?
It's been doing the same thing for a long time and it's still going to cars today and tomorrow. I think the message is getting confused on new technologies and how quickly they can actually replace oil.
You think oil's here for the long term?
It's not going away. And I'm not taking sides. I'm just, again,
I understand
there's
that.
A commodity like every other commodity in this economy around the world right now that is still required tomorrow.
All right, my final, you get the final.
Another
word.
Final.
What's the oil price going to be in 2 years' time?
$120 a barrel.
Wow. Well, if that's the case, Triangle Energy, what a great buy. Rob Towner, thanks for chatting to me on Small Caps today.
Okay. Thank you, Kerry.